Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Leave your gift before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Jesus spoke these words to people in his Sermon on the Mount. He was preaching to people who regularly anticipated traveling to Jerusalem to present their offerings on the altar at the temple. Matthew wrote these words to new Christians who anticipated coming to the Lord's altar for the Eucharist. So which altar is it? Well, it's both. The Old Testament altar and liturgy pointed forward to and is fulfilled in Christ's self-sacrifice on the cross and his presence in the sacrament of the altar. Today, Jesus directs our attention to this altar. He is talking about the divine liturgy of word and sacrament, in which the beautiful ritual flow suddenly gets interrupted. Leave your gift before the altar and go. First be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Two particular elements shape the meaning of Jesus' words for us today: liturgy and anger. Some things never change. Matthew chapter 5 deals with worship wars, but not the wars between traditional and contemporary worship styles. Jesus is talking about the wars that go on between brothers who come to worship and expect to receive the reconciling body and blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper while they harbor anger and resentment towards each other. It is dangerous to go to the liturgy when you are angry. More specifically, it is dangerous to go up to the altar when you are angry. Forgiving others or asking others to forgive you is not optional for those who desire to come to the Lord's Supper. Sin and anger against others is an unavoidable part of life in this fallen world, and it is especially true among those closest to us. Many a family dinner has been disrupted by angry and cruel words. Hurt feelings and hatred and bitterness can last for hours, or the pouting can go on for days. But then comes Sunday, and the family is again invited over to the Lord's house for a family dinner. Do we continue the feud, or do we reconcile? It is dangerous to approach the altar with someone with whom you refuse to be reconciled. To despise someone at the altar in whom the Lord has put his body and blood is to despise the body and the blood. One of the oldest liturgical manuals was written about the same time that Matthew wrote his gospel. In chapter 14 of the Didache, the congregations are warned, "On the Lord's Day, you assemble and break bread. But let no one who has a quarrel with his companion join with you until they have been reconciled." It was for this reason that the ancient liturgies included the kiss of peace after the service of the word and before the service of Holy Communion. Reconciliation and peace with others must precede the reception of the body and blood. Liturgical revisions of the 20th century reintroduced this ancient custom in many churches in the form of a handshake and accompanied by the words, "Peace be with you." Instead of being understood as serious business, the peace sometimes degenerates into a confusing cacophony of jolly good mornings, hugs, and friendly chit-chat. As annoying as this is to the liturgical purist, there's something far worse that can happen than that in the liturgy. This is when the peace is refused or avoided. You can come into church and you can see the offending party conveniently sitting way ahead of you and on the other side of the church, and for a moment you're relieved that you do not have to exchange that seemingly innocent little phrase, "Peace be with you." But as the full significance of those four little words become apparent, they start rubbing up against your bitterness and hurt and anger. Truth is, after what they've done to you, you just can't muster up 1 ounce of love and compassion and mercy for the two-faced fool. Thankfully, the church is full, and you can commune at different times and on different sides of the church. Anyone who has not experienced these feelings has probably never been stabbed in the back by a smiling, pious brother. When it comes to pastoral practice, it's a lot easier to do a doctrinal check on a person's confession of the real presence than it is to bring about real reconciliation. Furthermore, an examination of one's own heart shows that reconciliation is just messy. It's a bloody, messy business. But Jesus tells us, leave your gift before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. That's what he says. That's what he says, and that's what he did. He left the temple, and without complaint, he was taken outside the city of Jerusalem to Calvary in order to reconcile the world to himself by his blood. Reconciliation is a bloody, painful business. Jesus explains, the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. A Lutheran parishioner once told me that when she was a child, her parents took her to church every Sunday, and whenever Holy Communion was offered, her father, right before he went up, would lean over to her mother and say, "I'm sorry." And she said for years she kept wondering, what had her father been doing? Well, we can all learn from this faithful Lutheran layman. And we would do well to imitate his piety. Nevertheless, like all husbands, wives, families, and church members, our efforts at reconciliation is never enough and certainly never finished. We should also imitate Jesus, whose perfect life and merciful death reconciled the world unto himself. But again, all our imitating will never be enough and never be finished. So what do? We go on imitating. We go on reconciling. But more importantly, we give thanks that Jesus left the altar in the temple to reconcile with his brother. And we are that brother. And our reconciliation cost him his life. It was a bloody business, but it was perfect. It was complete and it is finished. And with him, we can now return to the altar and offer our gift. Amen.